Hello, and welcome to the Death and Grief Talk podcast. I'm your host, Joelle Simone Maldonado, and I'm also known as the Grave Woman. Have you ever heard of a conjurer? According to my guest, Brandon Wilkins, aka Uncle Brandon, a conjurer is a magical practitioner based in the African American experience. He explains that being an African American is not just based on being a descendant of slaves from Africa, but being the blueprint of mankind. He believes that we are the embodiment of what multiple races look like in one vessel, and that our bloodlines come with a set of magic. But what is magic? Is it something that we all possess? Is it something given only to a select few for specific reasons? How do we discover, work with, and begin the process of utilizing our own magic? How do death and grief tie into this and the overall ebbs and flows of the cycles of life? Uncle B, Uncle Brandon, welcome to the Death and Grief Talk podcast.
Thank you for having me, dear.
Thank you for agreeing to speak with me. I first saw you on TikTok, and I fell in love with your energy and just your spirit. And I was like, I want to talk to him. But before we get into that, I want you to introduce yourself and just tell the people who you are, what you do, where you're from, and what brought you to being everybody's online hoodoo uncle that's sharing all the spiritual tea.
Well, I'm Uncle Brandon, or just Brandon, as many people will call me, or B, or whatever. I'm a man of many, many names. And I am a traditional conjurer. I am very much an inherited worker, meaning that I was born into the practice. It was a worker before me. And there honestly is not that many workers left in my family other than me and another cousin. Out of 111 of my first cousins, we are a rare breed nowadays. So I'm actually very honored that spirit put me in the position to be everybody's uncle. Because I'm going to be honest with you, who knew? Nobody, three years ago, telling me this was going to be my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, this has always been me. This is literally always been me since I was a very little boy. Like this has always been me. I don't know a life without doing what I do. Like, it was either on a very private level or a very broader level, which this still is very new to me. Like, I didn't set out to be on TikTok and things like that. Like that happened by faith alone, I promise you. And I just ran with it. So I hope that answered your question. I tend to babble.
Where are you from?
I am from the DMV, and I'm Geechee Gullah by way of South Carolina.
What part of South Carolina?
Edgefield, actually.
I'm from Beaufort.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. We may be cousins. Who knows?
We may be cousins. I don't know. I thought you were from Louisiana.
Oh, no. I have family in Louisiana, and my spiritual base is a lot in Louisiana. But no, I'm not Creole.
Okay. So
people tend to get the accents mixed up. See, I'm more country, less French. They more French, less country. You get it?
Got you. I don't know why. It wasn't even the accent. I just don't know why I thought you were from Louisiana.
Because everybody associates the practice with New Orleans and stuff like that. And then I don't help it any because I stay down there so much. So it's an easy mistake.
Okay. So what is it that you do, Uncle Brandon?
I am a conjurer.
What is a conjurer?
A conjurer is a magical practitioner based in the African American experience. So with that, that's a big statement because it's a very large and umbrella term, because being an African American is not just being a descendant of Africa. It is almost being a blueprint of mankind. You know what I'm saying? Like we are the living embodiment of what multiple races look like in one vessel. You know what I'm saying? So so with that being said, all of those bloodlines come with a very particular set of magics and things of that nature. But In short, I am a magical practitioner.
Okay. Now, for the sake of those listening that may be unfamiliar, what is magic?
Magic is
talking magic with a C or a K?
With a K, actually. And honestly, well, depending on where you come from, but they added that K later on just to specify, you know, the mystical versus the stage magic. So yes, the K. But honestly, magic from that standpoint is the belief that God imbued you with the very same gifts to create miracles in one's own life. Because it's the belief that, and we take very literally, when we say you were made in his image, that means, oh, okay, I'm a son and daughter of God. That means I have God-like powers. And each of us are imbued with a specific set of them, obviously. But like, for the most part, it's the belief of wanting something so bad and making it happen.
Okay. So the video that I saw of you that got my attention and really piqued my interest about you was the video where you were talking allowed to go to funerals back in the day. Mm. And that is something that I am very familiar with, but I want you to share why that was, where that originated, and why we don't see that so much today.
Now, say I heard the funeral part. Repeat that one part one more time.
Pregnant women not being allowed to go to funerals. Why? Okay. Where did that come from?
Okay, so this is the rest in spirit thing. Like, so when the new soul or the new vessel is being born or developed within the mother's stomach, it is very sensitive to spiritual attacks, because at that point, the soul hasn't rested in there yet. And the belief back then was that in hell. I still believe it to this day. But it's the same belief until you are born, until you are actually born, there isn't a soul in there, okay? So that means it's pretty much like saying, okay, if the dead ain't ready to go yet, and a pregnant woman got a fresh and ready body, like, mm-hmm. already there, like it's going to be tempted not to move on versus resting in your soon-to-be-born child. So that is that belief. Now, after a child is, you know, if the child is already born and, you know, you go to the same funeral, it's custom to pass the body of the child over the casket to ward off the, you know, to welcome, say, okay, this is yours, so keep it moving, you know what I'm saying? This is family. So this is almost a rite of passage or, what's the word I want to give? It's an agreement of a sort. There you go. I use that. It's an agreement of sorts that, okay, you can rest and the kid's already born. It's a soul in here. Like, don't come rocking, okay? Like it's time for you to go on. Because it's the belief that if a person dies with too much left undone, they're going to try by all might to complete it before having to be born again. Does that make sense?
It does. How do we die? Because I've always said that people, you know, that's a question people ask. Well, how do you want to die? And my answer is I always want to die empty, right? I just want to die with giving all I have given, can give in this realm. How do we not die with incomplete work?
Ooh, that's a great question. Good on that. Good. Bravo. Bravo. Well done. Okay, so I'm going to be quite honest with you, because we are taught that life and death is this straight line thing in today's culture, and in most ATRs is not believed that, okay? It's believed that life is more so a circle effect. It's something that is born into itself on a nonstop type of thing, meaning me and you have already had this conversation. Me and you've already interviewed me probably a millennia over, like. Now, the idea that people like to adopt in today's society when it's come to rebirth or reincarnation is that you get to get born, reborn into random objects like a squirrel or a goldfish, you know what I'm saying? That's what people like to believe to make themselves feel better, because they say any life is better than this life. But the truth is, the aspect of hell in a African magical aspect is to relive this life on repeat for eternity. Okay, you don't get another life. You don't get another vessel. They said it, but we took it and understood it in a wrong way. They said you only get one life. People say that and hear that. I'm sorry, hear that and take it as someone saying you only get one time around the clock. No, what they're meaning is you only get this copy. Okay, you only get this setup. If you were born in 1946 and you die in 2002, you are going to be born in 1946 again to the same mother, to the same father. Your whole existence is your only reason any of us are here is because we are a part of a millennia of an unbroken line of birth. You don't get to get born outside of that. Your very existence was made up of millions of people's DNA that date back to the beginning of time or since man walked the earth. So to be born out of it, to have one's job to be completed in any senses of the word, is to live until, just like you said, you're empty. To do a job, to leave a mark that can't be mistaken, even if you're born again. Okay, so case in point, you know how people like to talk about deja vu. Like, that's my favorite way of explaining this. People say, this is deja vu. I was in this McDonald's at 3, like I seen it, I was here. And the easiest explanation that most of us grow up hearing is, oh, your soul is traveling at night and this, that, and the fifth. And why? You answer me, make this make sense. Why would your soul go to a McDonald's at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday? Why? That makes no sense. My answer to that very same question is, not your soul has been here before, baby. You have been here before. That very time, that very day, you've already lived this existence, and just maybe on a more grimmer outlook on the situation, maybe this was one of your markers. Maybe this is where the test ended for you, and you got sent back to the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the cycle, is living this existence until you have quite possibly hit the Jesus standard, the quite perfection in the soul. Every life that you leave, either you clean off a little bit of dirt or you add a little bit of dirt. And you don't get to go to the next part of your existence. Or, case in point, if you start this existence, I believe all of us started off on either side of the spectrum. Either we were born into wealth or you were born into poverty. You are going to experience both and all in between before you are able to go home to the ancestral plane. You understand? Does that make it make sense?
So I have so many questions. If I understand what you're saying correctly, is like, okay, my birthday is February 27th, 1986.
Mm-hmm.
Death date is, I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. So if I understand what you're saying, me, Joelle, or the spirit within Joelle,
mm-hmm.
is going to be, or has been for millennial, been born on February 27th, 1986, however many times, I don't know, right? But I maybe may not have been born as a Black woman to a...
No. 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 Like, I'm not saying that. You almost had it.
Help me understand.
You are Joelle and will always and forever, until you are called home to the universe, God, whatever you call it, until you have reached perfection of what Joelle could possibly be. Does that make sense? Does that clear it up?
I can understand it, but I don't get it, if that makes sense.
That's fine. And that's what this is for. And and it's gonna sneak in later. Case in point. Say that Uncle Brandon has been Uncle Brandon for 10 million years, hypothetically, okay? And this is my 10 million and one time around the sun. Okay. Now, this may very well be my last time, but if I don't complete the job, I'm coming around the second 10 million. You get it?
As the same being, the same experience, different versions, like maybe a different version of the story, but the work is still the same.
There you go. The bones are still the same. The build will be different.
So that makes me think, my husband and I went to church the other day to hear a friend of his preach. We don't go to church every Sunday. He's Baha'i. I grew up Christian. But the preacher, his dad said something that piqued my interest. He said, you're your age. He was telling somebody happy birthday. How many children do you have? He said, I have 3 kids. How old are your kids? One is 40 something. One is 30 something. One is 50 something. He said, add all of that up. You're your age plus their age plus their kids' age. Right?
Yeah, I get where you're going. Yeah.
So like in my mind, when someone like we're going back to that baby, right? And that pregnant woman's belly. Does it like my grandfather passed away, right? He's George, but I'm Joelle. I'm his granddaughter. My mother's still here. Am I living out part of his purpose or is his separate from mine?
Okay, this is okay. Case in point. And I know this shit is crazy. And this is what makes magic so beautiful because it is an intricate quilt of things. And like it really is. So you gotta look at it like this. People look forward, okay, for lessons. They look forward. And this is what puts people at a loss most of the time. Is because they don't understand that the lessons is now behind them. Okay. Okay, so your grandfather is not in front of you. He is behind you. He has gone, like, if he has not crossed over onto the ancestral plane, the day he died was the day he was born. You understand? This is the serpent biting the tail. You understand? Mm-hmm. This is that white light at the end of the tunnel. Some people see they're being born.
So, and that was my next question. How do you account for near-death experiences?
Near-death experiences and stillbirths can be accredited. Now, I've had a lot of clients come to me, mothers, you know, I could never give you details, but I've had a lot of them come to me with this very same question of, what about miscarriages or stillbirths or near-death experience? Well, near-death experience is a little different, but like, I believe near-death experience may be a signal, you know what I'm saying? That either you're going left or right or a complete fucking accident. Let's just be honest with you. And you might be glimpsing what may be happening. Like they say, your life has flashed before your eyes because you're about to step into it again.
And that makes something make sense for me because there's 2 points in my life where I feel like I died. Mm. The first, I was about to go to mortuary school. And I remember, actually, I hadn't even started mortuary. I was still working at an assisted living home at that point. And I decided I wanted to go to mortuary school, right? Mm. I made the decision to do what I feel like my purpose is, right? Mm. And so I remember I was not asleep, but I wasn't awake and I was laying on the bed and I used to have to, I don't know how familiar you are with Atlanta, but I lived off Sandy Springs Road. I used to have to get on Sandy Springs. I could either get on 285 and get on 400 to go to work, or I can continue straight up to Sandy Springs to Roswell Road to get to work. Right. And I was laying in the bed and I felt myself say to myself, if you get on 285, you're going to die before you get on 400. Right? And I was like, that was weird. Now, this is 285 at Sandy Springs. The next exit is 400. Right?
Because, I mean, again, maybe, just like you're saying, maybe it wasn't even a voice. It was a memory. Like, it had already happened many times over. Like that eerie feeling when some people walk past a certain house. Just like, I don't know why I don't like that house, but it's just a reason. I don't like that fucking house. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are called checkpoints, spiritual checkpoints. You know what I'm saying? Now, case in point, I cut myself short when it came to the stillbirths or miscarriages. And I didn't want it to sound cliche the way that I explained it to a mother, because they're still mothers. But I wanted to explain it in such a way where they could understand and maybe find comfort and understand something. I have never and will never claim to know everything, or if anything at all, you know what I'm saying? Because hell, let's just be honest, unless I can physically prove that I done died and came back and here's the document saying this is exactly what the fuck is going on, you can take whatever I say. This is just by research and putting facts together, you know what I'm saying, and traditional means, you know what I'm saying, of explanation. So I'm just going with that. But like, on best, as far as stillborns, the best that I could explain to a lost mother is that maybe, you could be happy when those sad moments happen. Just maybe. Because maybe that spirit didn't have to come back this time. Maybe, just maybe, they were, you know, I like to look at it like this. They're in a big courtroom and they weighing out all the odds, and on this end of the spectrum, you're dying and you're growing old and your new body is being built in your mother in the past. So your body is, your structure is being rebuilt for you. So in those moments, if the birth is somehow simultaneously terminated or anything that goes wrong with miscarriage or stillbirth, maybe your soul was just justified and you were allowed to not have to be born again. Maybe your test was cleared that time around, you know what I'm saying? And you were able to be taken out of the life cycle. The Hindus believe that, you know, life is just like what I'm saying. And to be born out, taken out of reincarnation or the life cycle, is to complete the job. And maybe, just maybe, that is a sign that that little girl or little boy or whatever has, you know, made it to the other side. Maybe, just maybe, when you say, I have a little angel looking over me, it might be true.
That's very interesting. And I've thought about it that way, but the way you articulated it puts words to thoughts I've had. But what I was going to tell you was, when I got on the road to go to work that day, a hearse went in the direction of 285 and I kept straight. And to me, that's exactly what I call them, checkpoints. And I get them. That's what I call deja vu. But I want to switch gears just a little bit. If a person has, thinking about the way that you've explained this, I have no recollection of my deaths, right? And so that kind of makes me feel like death is nothing to fear.
Because death is birth. If you take this for what it is, death is birth. Like, and honestly, maybe it is something to fear. Like, let's just be honest with you. If you take it for word, that means you're being born back into hell. You're being born back into whatever starts or beginnings. Because my thing is, everybody is in this cycle and their cycle is ringing with yours. So your mother has to get her shit right before your life is any better. It's a lesson. It's an interlocking. It's like the DNA ladder, quite literally. Like everybody has their ring in this ladder, and all the way back to the beginning of time, you are that same person living the experiences time over. Okay, like, is this making sense? I'm sorry.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Intellectually, it makes sense, right? Mm. But you know how, like, you can have revelation about something?
Mm.
I have not received the revelation of it yet, but I feel like this is a conversation that I'm going to need at the next checkpoint, if that makes sense. Not me, but those that are listening too.
It's perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And again, this is the concept of death and rebirth. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is probably the most argued subject in the world over time. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the way I see it, billions don't see it the same way. You know what I'm saying? Like this is the best way I could describe it. Because outside of, like, Christianity, basically everybody believed this in the same or one way. It's said over time in many different ways. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, people would like to think about, because case in point, most Christians, when we're little, we are taught that when you die, you become an angel. It is just a 1-2 punch. If you live good and you die with the word on your hands, like, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna die and become an angel, and you get to watch over your whole family. Not knowing when they grow up and find out, firstly, what an angel is, and that human beings can't be angels. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you find out that when you die, you don't necessarily go to heaven or hell. Like, no human being from the first Adam and Eve down to me and you who has died between yesterday and right now, no one is in heaven or hell by the gospels. If you follow the gospels, no one's in heaven or hell right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, but everyone, whether it is Mother Teresa or Hitler himself, everyone is in paradise by scripture, okay? Like, everyone is in paradise. No one gets into heaven or hell until the end of days by scripture. When the trumpets sound and all the dead rises to be judged, and it's either you're standing with the lambs or the rams, like all that jazz. That's when it's decided that you make it into heaven or get demolished in hell, because technically after the end of days, it won't be no more hell, but that actually cancels out everything in itself. But that's a whole nother conversation. But, like, I'm just saying, everyone has this thing that life goes on after death. Okay? Like, it's just how they're saying it. Like, the Christians believe, like, you don't even get to purgatory until after judgment day. Like, that's the crazy, that go over everybody fucking head. You be like, yeah, no one's in hell right now. Like, you be like, oh yeah, the worst serial killer in the world is in paradise right now, if you're following the gospel of Christianity, everyone. And until the end of these days, when Peter and Jesus himself touch back down on this here plane by the Christian word, no one is in heaven. And even after that, only 1,100 gets in.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's kind of mind-blowing. I've never heard that before, that nobody...
No. Jehovah's Witnesses, 1,100. If I'm quoting it loosely, yeah, 1,100. We look it up real quick.
I think it's 144,000.
There we go, 144,000. Yeah, there we go. That's it.
That's it.
Out from time, starting to now, only 144,000 people will make it into heaven.
And I guess those are the ones that don't have to repeat the timeline anymore. They've perfected.
No. That's the Christian standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the Christian standpoint. Everybody believes either you return, everybody returns to God. Mm-hmm. Outside of Christianity. Everybody either gonna get born, be born into this hell forever until you get it right. You have cleansed yourself in the hell-like fires to be at pure state to return home. This is alchemy. This is turning water into wine.
Yeah. You understand? I would say, like, it's not literal. It's very metaphorical. Yeah. So let me ask you this. We're talking about, like, this continuance of time until you alchemize into this
gold
state, right?
Until you're gold.
Until you're gold, right? And I'm sorry, my dog is going a little crazy in the background. But what do you that sounds organic to me, right? The opposite of organic in this sense would be perhaps, how can I explain, an artificial transfer of consciousness?
Where are we going with that? Like robotic. Okay. Right. All right. I was trying to jump the gun. We're talking about like AI.
AI.
Okay. So what are we? What's the question on that? I'm sorry.
I don't really know if it. I'm gonna just go and then I'll see if a question comes out of it. Mm. So, perfect example. The Beyonce concert, the Renaissance tour, went, had a great time, but it almost seemed to me as if she was saying goodbye to her physical form and hello or being born into her AI consciousness.
Well, I'm gonna keep it a buck. I'm gonna keep it a whole buck, and you will probably be the only person I ever get to say this to. Maybe not. Maybe somebody else will ask me later on other interviews. But because you brought it up, I love what Beyonce has been able to accomplish in her career and business goals, and the pride that people feel by watching this Black woman. Like I absolutely applaud her on what she has been able to build around herself and her family. Okay, like applaud it. I applaud her mother for being there for her through all of those changes and X, Y, and Z. Now, with that much being said, I am not a person, well, I can like to consider myself an actual magician. I like to consider myself not a practical magician, but a real, actual, true-blooded magician. Like I have studied scriptures and languages that don't exist anymore. You know what I'm saying? I have studied shit that has absolutely nothing to do with conjure or any ATR at all. I have been witness to some strange shit over the years, you know what I'm saying? Like, and some real questionable realities when it comes to certain shit when in the magical community. I have never in my days practicing the arts seen such a hysteria behind a woman who really is just showing pride in being Black. You know what I'm saying? Like I have seen people call this woman a siren to Oshun her damn self. You know what I'm saying? And to be quite honest with you, and a person who has studied mythical creatures to a great extent, and I could tell you some shit that would draw your blood cold for real. People are looking at the wrong persons if they're looking for someone with that ability and who actually is doing it. Like, I can promise you, Beyonce may be a believer of the ancient African practice, since a lot of celebrities are, to be quite honest with you, like Erykah Badu, Wale, hell, Ricky Ricardo, Desi Arnaz, Lucille Ball. These were all celebrities who actually practiced African traditional religions. Like these were people who actually historically did it. Like Beyonce and her mom allegedly are amongst those numbers, you know what I'm saying? But if you want to talk about a creature versus a practitioner, Beyonce, I promise you, ain't the one you should be looking for. And to answer your question, as far as her saying goodbye to her consciousness, I don't believe any of that, but I do believe that this woman knows exactly how to spin a concept and into her necessary productions. Like, this woman has not lost any consciousness. She has not. No, she knows very much what she's doing. And hell, if she is going into AI, whatever, it probably is going to make her bills cheaper. So that's all I'm saying on that one. Like, but no. I ain't throwing no names out there, but I know who the real one is amongst those ladies. Like, and I'm like, oh, I get it. Because people think sirens are these beautiful mermaid creatures and that they have this beautiful music and they sing these lullabies. No, that's not exactly what an inherited siren would be. An inherited siren is someone whose voice isn't even necessarily a good one. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's mesmerizing. It's something about it that plucks at your very existence. Like, it's addictive. It plays at your essence, that it pulls you in. Beyonce is a wonderful entertainer, and she has what someone from my practices would call a copper tongue. So she can draw chaos in her favor quite well, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's a beautiful art. And people over time, Elvis Presley did the same thing, you know what I'm saying? Michael Jackson, same thing, you know what I'm saying? Like she just took on that mantle, and she's now the new queen instead of king. It ain't been a queen in a while, if ever, outside of Rita. Like, but on that pop level, like, it was time for a woman to take that throne. But but it is, it's not what people think. I promise you that. I promise you that. Like, it's no. But I'm sorry, babbling again. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I almost want to ask, who should we be looking at? But you said you're not going to call any names.
No, because it's going to call, oh my God. No. I ain't going to be one of those people that's be like, I already got enough attention. I don't need people looking at me like, oh, he's calling this person, blah, 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 blah. No, I don't care. I don't care what really. But all you got to do is follow the track record. If you know your history, stop reading. It's not you, but anybody listening, stop reading fairy tales or just the original, or just the Disney version of it. If you're going to read fairy tales, read all of them, because every fairy tale that like Snow White is 100 different versions of Snow White. And the thing about legend, when you get deep enough in it, you start to find the truth. Okay, so like my thing is, if you look at patterns and look at how and when certain creatures came out of the sea, and look at traits, and then you kind of follow that along into and then you look at the paper and you look at how they operate and move, it really reveals itself. And I'm trying my best not to sound like a flat earther or a conspiracy theorist, because it really is it's not a lot of people. It really isn't. Like, but it goes over some people's head when real magic is being done in front of them versus, like you said, magic with a C versus a K. It goes over most people here because everybody's looking for the sparkles and the wand weaving versus like Ricky Ricardo singing Babaloo on I Love Lucy, which is a ceremonial song to Babaloo Ae, Ifa or Orisha. On national, international television, a prayer to an African god is being sung on mouths of millions.
Mm.
And ironically, that is one of the most successful comedian shows ran by a woman in history.
Mm. Mm. That's very interesting. So you mentioned reading. What books do you suggest myself and anyone else who's curious to know about magic read?
Magic or hoodoo?
Both.
All right. Magic notebooks that I'm gonna be able to just name off, that you're gonna be able to walk into a bookstore and get, you're gonna have to look up concepts, okay? Like that's where you start. You don't look for other people's work. You look for the lore. And then go from that point. So case in point, if you have an interest in Welsh magic, you know what I'm saying? Then you would have to go into Welsh history and lore and learn who was the badass at that point and what made them that such, and who was the bullshitter, who was the charlatan. And then from that point, you start looking at any available works that may still exist by X, Y, and Z. That's where you start. I ain't going, like back in the day, most shit that you're gonna find now on magic is Wiccan, like based, you know what I'm saying? And Aleister Crowley filtered, okay? Like. So if you're looking, and then that's gonna thrust you in the realm of witchcraft rather where you wanna be, because magic has been anchored in such a one umbrella term that witch, worker, wizard, sorcerer, has all been sewn into one big clusterfuck. When quite honestly, to be called one or the other could actually in the magic world be a true insult. So you need the concept first. Figure out what type of magic you're interested in. And most people need, before going on any journey, have a question. You know, like if you don't have a question and you just have a blunt interest in the subject in its entirety, it's probably best that you just look at movies about it. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't have a question, you're going to venture into the 100-acre woods and never be seen again. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you went in there without a map. You went in there without any destination predetermined. Even if you don't make it to that particular destination, you have no idea why you actually want to know this shit in the first place. See, that's where you know where your soul is in this cycle. How young are you? And what type of real mature questions have you developed over this millennia? Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Now, for Conjure, I am currently writing my own book. One that I do like. I do like it because of it's well written. It's well written, controversial. Yes. Why is it controversial? Before you ask me, it's because a white woman wrote it, and I have to argue put people down about this shit all the time. Conjure is a passed down, yes, closed, but very much passed down art. If someone teaches you how, then it is now you're in the club. So whoever taught this chick taught her well. And I am a reader of Conjure scriptures for verification. I would like to read shit just to see how close to the mark you got. And I'd be like, oh, okay, I know this work. You know what I'm saying? And if I can find more than three workings in a book that I personally knew before opening that book, I might end up liking it. But this book is called Old Style Conjure by Starcast.
Okay. You said star class?
Yes, yeah.
Starcast. Oh, okay. Thank you.
No problem.
And it's interesting you said what you said about the question, because when you were talking about the cycle in the eight, like repeating it for millennia, my next question to that was going to be, how do you figure out how old you are in the cycle? And I was going to ask you, how old are you?
How old am I? Okay, so listen, in some studies that I did years ago, because I had that very same question, because we all do eventually. And when I went looking for the answer, I found it in a really odd place. It was in my birth date. It was on the day that I was born. All of my numbers are double numbers on my birthday. Like, I was born on 111. It's like, holy shit. I'm like, and it's almost identical to my mom, because my mom was born on 1022. And I was like, oh, okay, this is like a countdown, like 2-1. And then I looked at it and I was like, okay. I looked up and I was like, I did my numerology, because my uncle, the worker before me, was a master number smith. Like, this man could work numbers. I honestly didn't inherit that gift. I'm not even going front. I did not inherit his gift for numbers. Like, because that was just some shit that God gave him on some other shit. But, like, I was born in the 11th day of the first month, which is signaled to have been a choice to come back this time. Okay? This is what all records stated. It stated that I came back this time to teach. And that I read that. I came across that information far, far before I actually started doing this full time. And I was like, holy shit, it was right. And I was like, so I came back this time, I'm guessing, to give back what I learned over the millennia, whatever that is. How much time I have, who knows? But I do feel like this time, because it all feels new. That's one thing I do feel. I haven't had deja vu in quite some time. Like I haven't had that feeling like I've seen any of this, like, new part of my life in quite some time. You know what I'm saying? Like it does feel quite new this time around. You know what I'm saying? In my earlier years, I used to get it all the time. Now, as I age and get a little older, it feels so new. It's like I made a different turn this time. You know what I'm saying? Like it does quite feel new. It feels new. And I guess that's the best answer I can give you for that. Yeah.
Well, Uncle Brandon, we are approaching the end of our hour. I'm so sad about that.
Did you have fun at least?
Oh my God, I've had so much fun. I don't want it to end. I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, for blowing my mind a couple times. and giving me way too much to think about for the next couple days.
I hope people take this and take it to heart. I do. And thank you so much for having me. This was a great time. I had so much fun. Thank you. Just let me know when you post it, because I would love to share this on my page as well. Because this was, you had some awesome questions. Nobody really likes to ask the scary questions. Some of those questions really unsettle people. And it does, it really does. And those aha moments, because I don't like to give fairy tale answers. I really don't. I don't like to give that, because the truth behind a lot of shit is horrifying. It's horrifying. It's fucking horrifying. Even the sugar-coated Christian answer to a lot of the questions you gave me, when you take the sugar off of it and eat it raw, you start to find out some weird shit. And you be like, I believe in this? And you like. So I try to give it to people in ways that I'm like, Spirit gave it to me like this. And from my research and comprehension, and not translation, because I truly believe it is danger in that word of translation
interpretation.
That word is so dangerous. And I want you to be weary, deeply weary of the word. Anybody listening to me, how many ears this reach? Hopefully millions. Be weary of the word interpretation. Why? Is because it weakens whatever it is to the point that it needed someone else to explain something that is supposed to already be infallible. So when somebody says, my interpretation of this scripture, why the fuck do I need your interpretation? What does it mean? Comprehension and interpretation are two different total things. Interpreting something is saying that you have to put it into words that other people, that have you, those are your thoughts now, how you have processed it. And now you're regurgitating. It's like a big game of telephone. You're regurgitating not just the message, but your thoughts on what the message meant. And it's too many people who look to everyone else for their interpretation of meanings of scriptures, books, texts across time to get a grasp or idea of things, because people are so afraid of diving. This is why very few people find God the first million times around. It's because they look for other people's interpretation as fact. What kind of bullshit, what kind of hypocritical bullshit is, if you say God is infallible and that the Bible is the word of God or whatever scripture you're handing me, and then you come round the barn, follow that up with, here's an interpretation of the scripture, how the fuck does that make sense? How do you interpret the one true God for me? That makes no sense. What's the scripture? What's the words? What's the facts? That's all that matters. The facts, not your interpretation. Be weary of that word, interpretation. That's why you have to go, if you quote anybody quoting the interpreted, like the version, what is it? The King James Version of the Bible, the Genesia Version of the Bible. Okay, what's the real Bible? These are all interpretations. Stop, look, don't, like, this is where I say, because in scripture, it make you say, it says you want to follow a shepherd. The sheep should follow the shepherd and the shepherd should protect his flock, right? It don't look like many people is getting a lot out the deal, but the shepherd. The sheep are food. Remember that now. They grow the hair for the shepherd to sell. They grow their meat for the shepherd to eat. Where in the hell? If the shepherd leads you off a cliff, you go. So in reverse, should we be following the example of the shepherd instead of the sheep? Be wary of interpretation.
Okay. That one hit me. I comprehended that. I did want to ask you one more question.
Yes, dear.
You're the first person I've seen make them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know they had a name until mm-hmm. I heard you talk about it. The Big Mama dolls. Tell me about those. Because my mom has one sitting in her house. And I was like, these are the things that he's making.
Okay. So the Big Mamas go way, 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 way back. And I'm sure way far enough back that I'm sure you don't have enough time for me to comb it all out. So I'll give you a cliff note version of it. To them, she was Mammy. To us, she has always been Mama. Okay. Now, Mama has always been, had the answers. Big Mama has always had knew the prayer. She always knew the herbs. She always knew what to do when the baby had colic. She always knew who and when birthday. She had the answers. And the practice behind Big Mama also stems from just like the Lama Dama practice of the knowing woman. She's the knowing wise woman of the family, the forgotten medicine woman. She is the representation of every matriarchal energy that one female has had from the start to finish, okay? She is a representation of the grand feminine, okay? So each doll is a vessel either for a personal reason or a broader reason. Personal meaning, this is for the women in my family. I'm going to put this directly on my altar to represent each woman from start to finish. This one doll, okay? Now, in a broader aspect, this is a resting place for the grand matriarch of women, period. Like, whatever woman of goodwill and knowing chooses to come visit and work with me, like, chooses me as a friend and companion, this is a doll in representation of he, she, or whoever she would be, okay? Does that make more sense?
It does, and it makes sense why my mom has it where she has it in her house, too. Mm-hmm. Yep.
She is all Black women. She is all from, she's all the way back to Eve.
Uncle Brandon, where can people learn more about you and support you and tell us a little bit about your offerings before you
go? Okay. So if you want to get to know me, you can also, you can follow me on Instagram, the House of Midnight, spelled H-A-U-S, Midnight, M-I-D-N-I-T-E. And it got, it's a verified page. So I got my face. I'm wearing a green shirt. If you ever wanted to read in a class or consultation, that's the easiest place to get in contact with me. There's a lot of scammer pages out there. Now, if you want to learn more about Conjure, I do offer classes, one-on-one sessions, so that I can cover the bare basics of what the practice is and how the in and outs of it, building your confidence for you to go out and share this beautiful practice into your own life. And you can also buy my products on my website at iamchefbrandon.com. What else? I think that's everywhere. TikTok, of course. TikTok. And you can find me on TikTok at Uncle Brandon at 1133.
Thank you so much, Uncle Brandon.
Thank you for having me.
I pray that you have a great rest of your week and just thank you for spending this time with me.
Have a wonderful day and thank you for having me.
Live life, love hard. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye now.